You are Locked On Braves, your daily Atlanta Braves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You know, parents are the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
Hey, boys and girls, what's up? You guys know we already did an episode, but it's very important. We got an emergency episode to do today, and I am joined by my friend, colleague, partner in crime, Doc Herbert. Doc, how are you feeling waking up today?
Man, I feel good. I feel really, really good. I think I have more questions than I did yesterday about the Braves offseason, but feeling really good, feeling like we got a robust bullpen and a lot of offseason left.
Well, for those of you that are listening through the Locked On channel, first off, glad that you're still around. It's been a while since I've done an episode, but this is one of those things where I'm kind of glad I get to do this with Doc, because as you guys know, I do the TPS, the Platinum Sombrero, with Doc every single week, which if you are missing the sound of my voice, or you're missing my hot takes, please just go to the Platinum Sombrero and listen along. But today, I finally get to do what I've been waiting to do for Locked On all offseason. We have some big time news from the Atlanta Braves. And honestly, if you had asked me if I was expecting this, I would have said no. Doc, you and I did a TPS episode when I was down in Panama City. And you had mentioned Will Smith as one of the top guys in your top five to add as through free agency. And, well, lo and behold, it happened.
I think it might have been kind of an easy connection to make between the two. You know, the Braves' bullpen last year was subject to a lot of criticism, rightfully so. And Smith is a local guy. He is from Noonan. So I think that on paper, the fit was kind of obvious. But this just came out of nowhere. It was just middle of the day, everybody's just kind of bebopping along, riding out the clock. And all of a sudden, you know, we were looking at the deadline for accepting a qualifying offer. And well, not only did Smith officially reject his, this took place simultaneously while he signed his deal with the Braves. So just there had been no rumblings. There was nothing actually concrete about it. So Alex Anthopoulos once again puts a notch in the belt for being able to move in complete silence and upgrade this team. I love it. What, you love this move too, right?
Absolutely. This is why I've said a million times that if you hear Alex's name attached to a player, it's not true. And if woe to anybody if he says that he feels comfortable with a position on the team. You can expect him to add somebody to that position immediately.
This is two straight years. He's done the exact same thing and right about the same time of year. I mean, it was within 48 hours last year when he said we are perfectly content with our infield, and then he went out and signed Josh Donaldson to play third. While they were at the GM meetings this week, he said, you know, we're focusing more on catcher and the rotation. We're happy with our bullpen, and immediately goes out and signs, not just signs a reliever, but signs the marquee reliever, one with a qualifying offer attached. They're sacrificing a draft pick. They obviously are very passionate about this. So kudos to the Braves.
This is the first, by the way, this is the first qualifying offer or player with a qualifying offer attached that they've gotten since Irvin Santana in, what did we say, 2014?
Mm-hmm. And even that was kind of like a last minute panic move. So yeah, they don't just do this.
Quick reminder to everybody out there, what happened with that qualifying offer pick in 2014 for Irvin Santana? Oh, I don't know, somebody named Mike Soroka.
That is true. This is back in the good old days when you could offer a qualifying offer to a player more than one time. So Braves gave up a pick in 14 to get Santana, and then after he left, that turned into the 28th pick in 2015. So yeah, that is when they took Soroka.
And that is the other big thing from this signing is it's not just that they signed him, it's the amount of money. He got 3 years and $40 million, $39 million if you want to be absolutely exact. But there's a $1 million buyout attached to an optional fourth year, which is also worth $13 million. So it could go as high as $4 and $53 million, which is absolutely incredible. And I feel super incredible. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
This is the exact contract that I told you on the Platinum Sombrero that he would get. Do you remember? I said he would get paid around the same range as Adam Ottavino or Zach Britton. And I said that he would get closer to Zach Britton because he does have the saves in his background. And I mentioned that he would turn down the qualifying offer because he could get 3 years.
I actually do remember that. I was kind of surprised that the Giants gave him the QO to begin with. And I'm even just kind of based on everything surrounding the Braves with the international restrictions, the restrictions because of the international misgivings from a couple of years ago. I mean, they've got to be really careful about their prospects and how they funnel new talent into the organization. So if they're willing to give this up for, obviously, the best reliever that's out there right now, but if they're willing to do that for a guy that's only going to wind up pitching 65, 70 innings next year, they really have got to be passionate about this move. So that sets up a lot of other questions for what happens now. There's so many different directions. Like I said, I woke up with more questions than I had before this, because now I'm like, is this the big move? Is there more coming? Have they decided to bump payroll up? Just the number one takeaway that I have here is that whoever is making these decisions, whether it's Alex Anthopoulos or his team or whatever, they took losing the NLDS real hard, and they're not going to screw around. They're going to come out and they're going to start making moves. I hope that this doesn't turn into like last year where it's, hey, we got Donaldson and McCann in the same day. We're going to wait 2 months and sign Markakis, and then it's going to be spring training. Like, I hope this sets the tone for the rest of the offseason.
And it's really interesting. If this had been, say, Mike Moustakas getting that big deal, then I think that you and I would assume that that would be the big expenditure for the offseason. But because it's a reliever, and Alex has previously stated that he doesn't, and Alex's MO going all the way back to Toronto is to not give relievers big contracts, this is a very interesting type of test case here, because that's a lot of money. And Alex, we saw early this offseason when they declined the option on Tyler Flowers and Nick Markakis. They declined the option so that the buyout would get hit on 2019's payroll, not 2020's, and then immediately re-signed them to the $4 million, which is the same deals they did last year, essentially. And then they declined Julio's. They've been making sure to allocate as much funds as possible to that 2019 payroll, where they had that $56 million bubble. But this, I don't know which way I'm going on this. This could mean a few things. So for those of you that are super excited and think that this 100% means that payroll is going up, I'm not certain that I actually agree, for the simple question of this could be nothing more than Alex seeing that the bullpen blew 3 out of the 5 games in the NLDS. And Will Smith is a guy that if you had Will Smith in any of those one situations, the Braves win the NLDS. So that could have been a big contributing factor. Another factor could be that Alex is going for it this year, which a friend of the program, of both programs, Gabe Burns, has stated that in 2020 was the year that the Braves were going World Series. So that's another big possibility. They could feel that since they're not going to re-sign Josh Donaldson, which we'll talk about here in a second, that losing one qualifying offer pick for Will Smith is mitigated by getting a pick in return for Donaldson. There's a lot of different ways that you can take this. Now that I'm really into the swing of this, I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of what you were just saying, when you look at what happened in the NLDS with Chris Martin getting hurt, then that threw everything in disarray immediately, because then Max Fried wound up getting pulled out of the rotation and he became a bullpen stalwart, and then you wound up having to put Julio Teheran on, and you're adding a starter where you needed to add a bullpen guy. And I think that it's a good thing that they went out and they made those moves at the trade deadline to get Shane Green, to get Mark Melancon and Chris Martin, because if not for that, it could have been real ugly. But when they knew, as soon as Martin went down, they're like, we don't have the depth. You know, we have to put Julio on because there's kind of not really anybody else. So I wouldn't be surprised if this, I don't think this is going to be the last bullpen move that they make. Even this is obviously going to be the most substantial one, but you can get some really good depth pieces in there, so you're not just having to say, oh crap, I guess we have to get Julio now. We have to put him on the playoff roster. We're 2 straight years, you're basically just putting him in the very back end and praying to God that he didn't wind up having to pitch at all. So I just love this. But you also bring up the really good point about like that none of the holes that he said that needed to get filled, none of them have been filled. They still need to to get somebody in the rotation. They still need to get a third baseman. They still need to figure out something in the outfield, probably, unless they're just kind of waiting until Pache and or Waters come up or something related to those two guys. There's still a long way to go here. So payroll has got a way to go. It's perfectly natural to look at this and assume, well, they're not just going to blow their wad on a high leverage reliever who's not going to pitch as much as any of the starters. But man, I feel feel good about the fact that he's not, or that Anthopoulos isn't waiting for the market to take shape. He's getting out ahead of things and saying, this is the guy that I want. And you know, he's got some familiarity with Mark Melancon in there. I'm sure that having a buddy and on top of playing for his hometown team was certainly a big reason why he came here, and the ability to win. I mean, he played for the Giants last year, so I think that I also would want to come and play for a division winner too.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with this, because not only is it getting the premier arm in a bullpen that now is pretty stout, it also fills another huge need of a lefty in the bullpen, which they didn't have any reliable lefties. They had Blevins and they had Sean Newcomb. That were basically the only two lefties. Grant Dayton was okay, but he was hurt a lot, and he wasn't especially effective. Now you bring in Will Smith, it could also signal that they really do expect Sean Newcomb to make a play for the starting rotation. They've already said that Alex Anthopoulos has stated that Mark Melancon is still the closer, and that Smith is going to be like a setup type of guy. To me, what that states, because Smith is much better than Melancon, it almost looks like he's trying to nerf his own manager a little bit. Because as we've seen, Stick gets very traditional with bullpen usage. If you remember the playoffs, Mark Melancon did not come into a game unless the Braves were leading at the end of the game. That's just the way that Snit employs his closers. Very similar to Freddy Gonzalez in that regard. I know I just gave you guys a lot of PTSD about Kimbrel being left in the bullpen.
Why would you do that?
But I think it's important to mention that, because while everybody loves Snicker for how he handles the players, well, most people do, doing it like this and kind of putting in Snit's mind that Will Smith is, you know, not the closer, that's going to open him up to be used in the highest of leverage situations, which I think is infinitely more valuable than how many saves you get anyway. This is good. It could also have some ramifications for Shane Green. If his price gets a little too high in arbitration for what the Braves feel he deserves, then he could get non-tendered now, and you've got a better candidate that you've just signed in the system. So there are a number of ways this signing could actually end up going.
The Green thing is really interesting. I would be surprised if they were so quick to give up on him. I know that his price tag is escalating, but...
Well, and if you look at his career, it's not been the best career for him either. Last year in Detroit was a large outlier from what his traditional numbers are.
That's true. That is very true. I like the idea of the three-headed monster, kind of what they did for Martin, Green, Melancon, and now it can be Smith, Green, Melancon in any particular order. I like the fact that Smith being lefty and both Green and Melancon being righties, it gives you some options there depending on what your definition of closing or being in the most high-leverage situation. If you're facing the heart of an order in the eighth inning and you've got two lefties coming up or something, then you're more inclined to go Smith and let Melancon handle the ninth or whatever. But I do think that as it pertains to Shane Green, on top of the fact that he's going to wind up costing, you know, we'll say $7.5 million next year, he also cost Joey Wentz. He also cost Travis DeMeritt. I think that I don't think they would be so quick to just discard him just because he got expensive, especially if they're willing to spend $27 million between Melancon and Will Smith. But, you know, maybe he winds up getting traded. I had wondered whether or not Melancon would get traded because he's carrying $14 million next year, but he also has the no-trade clause that he had to waive to come here. I don't really think that he would be inclined to pass on it and go somewhere else again. So either some other money is getting moved, or this is where it keeps coming back to, they have to be upping the payroll. You can't do this and fill the other holes, because they don't really have any huge bad contracts to dump. Like, if the worst contract they've got is Ender and Ciarte, that's not a bad situation at all.
No, it really isn't, and I still expect them to at least try to bring back Chris Martin, and I'm still trying to figure out, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that the Braves made a really aggressive move for a reliever, not a position player, when you know that position player is a big area of need. And I'm not saying that to be angry about this. I I think it pertains very well to what the Braves are looking to add throughout the rest of this free agency. I do think that Mike Moustakas is going to be a prime target. I do wonder what your takes are on the Josh Donaldson thing. Does signing a guy with a qualifying offer lead you to believe that Donaldson is gone?
Kind of. Yeah, a little bit. I think I alluded to the international misgivings and how that costs some ability to get an influx of talent from abroad. But this organization has always prided itself on the way that it drafts, especially in recent years. And you start looking at these different things. I mean, I think that they would be really smart to manage their draft picks very carefully. But if things are like you said, and like you have heard from Gabe, I mean, if it's World Series or bust, then I'm as passionate about the draft as anybody, and screw the draft. If it comes down to having a really solid draft and winning the World Series, man, I never watch the draft again. So as it pertains to Donaldson, if he goes somewhere else, then, you know, let's say that he goes to the Rangers, because that's one of the names that he's been linked to, then they're, and these are just kind of estimates here because we don't know exactly what the full picks are going to be, but the Braves' second round pick, which is what they're sacrificing for Smith, would be approximately number 65. And the pick they would recoup for Donaldson would be approximately number 75. And going off of the numbers from last year, because they haven't released the slot values yet, the 65th pick that the Braves just sacrificed was worth $1,025,100 towards the pool. And the 75th pick, which they would get if Donaldson leaves, was $831,100. So you're moving back 10 picks, which when you're at that point of the draft, the difference in talent is kind of negligible. You could have a bunch of different evaluators rank guys in that particular area of the draft, and it'd be just kind of interchangeable in some spots. But you're looking at just south of $200,000 worth of your bonus pool, which all things considered, when you're dealing with $11 million in a bonus pool, is kind of a drop in the bucket. I think they are probably prepared now to, I think they're still going to make the push to bring JD back, but I think that the flexibility this allows, because if you just cost both of those picks, then that's a lot. But if you're recouping one for JD, then I think that helps justify this move a little bit. It is kind of strange that of all the QO guys they could have gone after, you know, they could have gone after Wheeler, they could have gone after Rendon. They weren't going to. They're not going to give away a contract like that. But of all of the guys that they could have gone after, they went after the one reliever. So that's kind of interesting. And if I had to like really nitpick and say if I had like any type of problem with this deal, it would be that. But even that's kind of like a back burner concern for me. I just talked a lot. Please say something.
Yeah, and I think what I want to get into really now is we're all excited to have Will Smith. Will Smith is a guy that gets a lot of strikeouts, which you know is something that I'm very big on having. I think strikeouts are key in this era of baseball. But I kind of want to break down Will Smith because he doesn't do it in the traditional way. He's not a guy that's going to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, he's primarily a two-pitch guy, four-seam fastball, and an absolutely elite slider. He's not a big velo guy. He's going to average like 92.5 miles per hour. But he got 96 strikeouts last year, and 71 of those, his out pitch was on his slider. We're going to see it a lot. It is nasty. It breaks. God, it breaks so much. And he rides all this to over the past 2 years. He had Tommy John in 2017. And for between when he came back in May of 2018 and the end of this last year, he struck out 37.4% of batters. That's 12.7 strikeouts per nine. And a lot of the time when you see these guys with the really eye-popping strikeout numbers, they have really high walk rates too. That's not the case with him. He's 2.74 walks per nine. He doesn't give up a ton of home runs. Some of that might have been directly related to playing in Oracle Park. You know, the ERA is 2.66. The FIP is 2.71. So there's not a whole lot of smoke and mirrors there. He is who he is. And who he is a really, really good pitcher.
Yeah, and he doesn't give up a ton of home runs. I mean, you could say 13 is a fair amount. That's not great, but he does a great job because his stuff breaks down. He goes about things very, very well. I'm about to pull up his splits here because I'd be very interested to see his actual splits, how he handles righties, because that's going to be a big deal this year with the new reliever rules where you have to face a two-batter minimum, I think it is. But there's just a lot of stuff that you can do with him. that I don't see you being able to do with the guys that you had in your bullpen before. He, if you want him to close, he's a better closer than Melanson. You can use him in any situation, and you're going to feel great about having him. And for a team like Atlanta, you already have a really good young offense. You're not spending a lot of money on any one player aside from Freddie Freeman. This was a fantastic move, and if it ends up signaling more to come, this could finally be the season that Liberty Media goes to even, say, $135 million payroll, which, for you and me, that's an extra $20 million from what you started with this past year. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And you also, Anthopoulos has talked a lot about always reserving some money for midseason. So, I mean, he added a bunch of money in the middle of the year between Keuchel, Green's money, Melanson's money. So that stands, if he is to try and shoot the moon again at the trade deadline, I mean, that right there, I mean, how much was that right there? Like $33 million that he added midseason just through those guys? So,
yeah.
So starting the OD payroll with $135 million, that is a dream. And just listen to this. First off, special shout out to our buddy Boggy for for the ad at the very beginning of the show, but also for providing me with this list. Are you ready for this, Dylan? Arodis Vizcaino, Jesse Biddle, Shane Carl, Chad Sabatka, Josh Tomlin, Luke Jackson, Wes Parsons, Johnny Venters. That was your 2019 opening day bullpen. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go be sick. Now, if you look at the 2020, what's on there already? When you've got Green and Melanson, you've got Darren O'Day, you've got Luke Jackson coming back, which is probably going to make somebody else sick, and now you've got Will Smith. The steps that have been taken just in that particular area, I mean, how many games did we watch the bullpen lose last year? Just in the regular season, not even counting the playoffs. This is humongous, dude. This is amazing.
It really is. And just looking at the split, Smith is significantly better against lefties, especially in the strikeout ratio. But his numbers aren't horrifically bad against righties. So they're slugging .412 off him last year. I'm so excited for this move. The Braves bullpen finally has a piece that I feel like you can actually turn to. Like, I've liked a lot of people in the Braves bullpen. Like, you know, I like Chris Martin a lot. I don't mind Shane Green. I like Mark Melanson. But none of those three are guys that I look at and say are dominant bullpen stoppers. This is something. Now, say the Braves go out and get Dellin Betances as well, as you and I talked about before the show started, which I would still do in a heartbeat because you could get him way cheaper than he deserves. You're talking about something that would rival the 2018 Milwaukee Brewers.
It's or any of the recent Yankees teams where they had Chapman and Betances and Andrew Miller and they were stacking all of these really amazing relievers one on top of another. I mean, this year too, they had a really good bullpen, which is one of the few parts of the team that actually managed to stay together. But having Mike Soroka, who's not a rookie, Max Fried, who stretched out. Hopefully Mike Foltynewicz can ride out his success for last year, and then you add in Sean Newcomb, or hopefully you trade for John Gray or somebody of that ilk, and then you put this bullpen on the back side of that. I mean, that's huge. We talked so much about how the Nationals winning the World Series was going to be like a real kick in the pants for this Braves front office to go out there and say, we won the division, but we weren't the best team in the division because the best team in the division won the World Series. Like, they know they got a big road. And even if the Nationals lose Strasburg and Rendon, the Braves have a lot of work to do. So this is a big step, big, big step. And you look at some of the guys in the NL East, like your Bryce Harper, like your Juan Soto. If you're the Phillies or the Nats, these are the guys you want coming up late in the game when it's on the line. And if the Braves have somebody like Will Smith, who, if I'm not mistaken, Smith last year against lefties allowed a 395 OPS, not OBP, but like a 395 OPS against...
He had a negative FIP against lefties.
That's unbelievable. That is like 2011 Craig Kimbrel all season long. You know what I mean? Like, it's so impressive. It's so impressive what he's able to do, and it fills in a very specific need. So, I like this. But
I like this a lot. Keeps
coming back to that one question, what now? Because if this is the last move, then it's kind of like, oh man, is that it? But it's November 15th. There's so much time. And we were saying the same thing last year. Oh my God, they signed Josh Donaldson. Oh my God, they brought back Brian McCann. They're going to do so many things. They're going to sign Bryce Harper, and they're going to sign Andrew McCutchen, and they're going to trade for Shohei Ohtani. You know, whatever. There's a million things, a million places where the mind goes. So now it's going to be even harder to be patient and wait. Like, I was fine with the offseason until as soon as this news broke, and I'm like, please God, give me more. It's like getting that hit. You got to get another one as soon as you get the first one.
Absolutely, and I'm going to go ahead and break the rule that I stated on TPS last night that I wasn't going to break. Now I'm just going to start speculating about other pieces I'd like to add. Now that you've gotten Will Smith, go ahead and take care of two more problems at once and go trade for Contreras and Yu Darvish. Let's test Liberty Media and see exactly how much money they're wanting to allocate to this team. Get me Darvish and Contreras to go along with Will Smith now and sign Mike Moustakas, and there you go. I think you've got a great offseason right there.
Yeah, it's not just individual positions to be filled. And we kind of talked about this on the companion episode. Like with losing Donaldson, you're not just losing third base, you're also losing your cleanup hitter, and you don't necessarily have to fill those in the exact same spot. So getting Contreras gives you the cleanup guy, getting Moustakas gives you the power guy, and then it still gives you the chance to go left, right, left through the middle of the order. I would love for Josh Donaldson to come back, but if it's going to allow the team to get really creative about how they fill these remaining holes, like with a Contreras Moustakas type thing, you know, the Darvish thing, I know that the Cubs want to shed money, but I think that deal gets real complicated when you start moving that much money around. But I'm not turning my back on it, man. Let's get weird. Let's get really, really weird. We've seen 2 years of a kind of neutered Alex Anthopoulos, you know, no disrespect intended, but you know what I mean, compared to Trader Alex, who just swinging a 12-person deal for absolutely no reason. If there's anybody that I trust to do that, it's him. So now he's older, he's wiser, he's got a better idea of what he wants to do, and I think if I had to guess now, I would say that more so than not, this signals a really, really interesting, active offseason. I just really hope I'm right.
I'm very excited to see what happens next. There's a lot of moves coming. I really do believe that there are a lot of moves coming. I don't know that they're necessarily going to be the giant moves. It's like, if you're expecting Zach Wheeler, I don't know that I'm on that train. He's going to have a huge market. I'm not sure the Braves will be the ones to nail him. I do think they'll be in on him. I just don't think that they're going to go crazy on the spending for him. I do think this kind of signals the end of the Braves and Bumgarner, unless Bumgarner wants to go to a much less money than is being projected right now. But, I mean, first move, good move. And I consider this the first move. I don't consider re-signing your own players the first moves in free agency. This will be the first domino, I think, for the Braves in their free agency. And hard to think of a better one to start off with.
Agreed. I love this.
I absolutely do, too. Now, before we get too long-winded on this, I'm going to cut this episode off in just a second. One other interesting tidbit for Will Smith. One that kind of illustrates the volatility of relievers and how they used to be viewed before the new style came around. He was traded for Alberto Callaspo.
Former Braves legendary second baseman Alberto Callaspo. For those of you still suffering from the 2015 season, you will recognize that name. He got traded for Nori Aoki once as well. His transaction sheet is just long and lustrous.
Nori Aoki, that's a trivia question answer.
Yeah, he also got traded for Phil Bickford once, who was drafted by Alex Anthopoulos.
Absolutely incredible. Well, I'm going to give this move a quick A+. We'll see how the rest of this offseason goes. But for now, I think that's enough for today for this emergency airing of the podcasts. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, whichever site you tuned in on. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. Doc, glad you're able to join for a quick emergency show.
Glad to do it, man. Let's hope that we get to do this again next week, because that means that the Braves sign somebody else.
Absolutely. All right, guys, make sure you enjoy this week, celebrate appropriately, and let's get ready for this to get to a weird offseason. With that being said, thank you guys so much, and we'll be back again soon. Next time there's a big move, you'll hear us on the Locked On channel. As far as the TPS goes, you'll hear us again next week. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.